Greetings in the name Yahweh, the only name under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. This is Brother Arnold with the Repair of the Breach broadcast, Restore the Past to Dwell In. We've been preaching and teaching that there's only one name under heaven you can be saved by. I don't know why people can't understand that. The Prophet Joel in Joel 2nd chapter teaches about in the last days, which we all agree that we're in the last of the last days. It says that whosoever calls on the name YHWH, Yahweh, shall be saved or delivered. Well, if there's only one saving name under heaven that you can be saved by, and the prophet Joel says that it's YHWH, King James, capital L-O-R-D. And I think it's Acts 4:12. It says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven you'd be saved by. Has to be the name YHWH. We've been preaching and teaching that the creator of heaven and earth has appointments. These are his appointments now. Of course, man has their appointments. But Yahweh has appointments, and they're by the great lights of Genesis 1:14. We just got through with the Day of Atonement yesterday, and I want to mention one more time, and I want to add to it just a little bit, how that the Day of Atonement commemorates the atonement that the Almighty made on the 10th day of creation when he covered Adam and Eve's nakedness. That's what atonement means in Hebrew. Look it up. It means covering. There was a covering made. There was blood shed. The book of Hebrews teaches without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So they had to kill these animals. It was a temporary process until the Messiah would come and take away sin once and for all. So Adam and Eve's sins, there had to be the bloodshed just like all through the scripture. And it just happened to be on the 10th day. That's why it talks about in Exodus and Leviticus there, Leviticus 23, it says also on the 10th day of this 7th month, it's the Day of Atonement. Well, we know all the other feast days commemorated something. Everybody knows the weekly Sabbath commemorates his rest after working on his creation for 6 days, right? And I realized one day, studying the scripture, that the new moon that they kept all through the scripture commemorated something. And it was finally revealed to me that it was commemorated creation. See, the Almighty created heaven and earth before he said, let there be light, and worked on it for 6 days. And there's a space of time there. And when he rested the 7th day after working on his creation for 6 days, it was the 8th thing he done. It was the 8th yom, or space of time. See, there was a space of time before the first work day. Scripture just calls it in the beginning. But what I want to say is that with lunar Sabbaths, this puts Adam being created on the sixth day of the week, but it would be the seventh yom, or space of time. It would be the seventh day of the month. And I showed one time how that, where it says the evening and the morning was the first day, that word first, or was, rather, that word were, is the word haya, and it can be translated as followed. And I give scripture where it was translated that way. It could just as easily read the evening and the morning followed the first yom, or day, space of time. But anyhow, Adam was created on the seventh day of the month. Genesis 2 and 2, it says, and on the seventh day, Yahweh ended his work which he had made and was refreshed. This is talking about the seventh day of the month that he ended his work. Not the seventh day of the week. You don't end your work on the seventh day of the week. You end your work on the sixth day of the week. But right here, Genesis 2 and 2, it says, and on the seventh day, Yahweh ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he made. There's two seventh days here. There's the seventh day of the month that he ended his work, and there's the seventh day of the week after working on his creation for 6 days. You can make a note of that if you want to write down, but it's baffled scholars for years because they couldn't understand. We today, we don't end our work on the seventh day. We have our new moon worship day each month, and then we have 6 work days. And on that sixth day is actually the seventh day. We end our work on the seventh day of the month, and then we rest the seventh day, talking about the seventh day of the week. But my point I want to make is Adam and Eve was created on the seventh day of the month, and then on the eighth day they rested with the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. It says that on that day he brought all the animals to Adam to see what he would name them, told him not, there was a certain tree not to eat of. If you do, you'll surely die. That's in Genesis 2:16. It says, and Yahweh commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Thus saith Yahweh. Now, he was with Adam all the way up to the end of the seventh day of the month, and he saw that everything was good, he said, and he rested on the seventh day of the week, which would be the eighth day of the month, there with Adam. Now, on the ninth day of the month, Genesis 3:1, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yahweh had made, and he came and he said, did he say not to eat of every tree? I'm paraphrasing. And they said of the tree, you know, in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we're not to eat of it. And of course, you know the story. He beguiled Eve, and she partook of it. And that evening, in the cool of the day, he said they heard the voice of Yahweh walking in the garden. Now, this would have been the night. You say, well, how do you know it was night? Because there's parables where there was good seed sowed in the field, and then immediately Satan come and sows the tares. So he didn't wait no week or two or 3 or 4 days or 1 day. He immediately came and tempted them on the ninth day, and that evening they heard the voice of Yahweh and hid themselves. Now, you know the story, so I'm not going to go into it, but he made them coats of skin to cover their nakedness. This is what the Day of Atonement commemorates. Yahweh, as the high priest himself, made them clothes of skin and covered their nakedness, and he showed mercy, for he done said, you'll surely die. So he shed the blood of animals until the true Lamb of Yahweh will come and take away the sin of the world for good. Now, I want to show you something that I hadn't showed you on this. I had talked on this. Notice it says that he placed cherubims there with a flaming sword there to guard this place or to keep him from going in there. And he said they became as one of us, knowing good and evil. Now, I want you to keep your thoughts on the cherubims. I want to show you a picture. I want to paint a picture. And when I got to the last stage of this picture, I cried real hard because it was so real to me what had happened. All through here now, they commemorated this day. They commemorated by bringing two goats. They took one goat and they cast lots, and if the lot fell on it, they sacrificed that goat to Yahweh. The other goat, they put the sins on its head. Adam had all the sins of the world, brought them into the world. He was led into the wilderness, cast out of the garden, right? And this was a type. This meant something. He wasn't just trying to take up space when he wrote all this. But I want you to look in, I think it's Exodus 24. I want to show you something in Exodus 24. It says right here, 25, I'm sorry. It says in verse 17, "And thou shalt make a mercy seat." That word mercy seat, that word, if you look it up, the Hebrew is mercy covering. There was a covering, and it was of pure gold. And it was a type of something. It was a type of this mercy covering of this sacrifice that he killed for Adam and Eve. And that was going to be in the future for the Messiah. This has been here for years. We know that the new moon commemorates creation. The weekly Sabbath commemorates his rest after working on it for 6 days. And we know that Pentecost commemorates the day that he gives the law on. Unleavened bread commemorates leaving Egypt before it rise. Tabernacles commemorates dwelling in booths when leaving Egypt. But what does the Day of Atonement, what happened back there? He said, also, the 10th day of this one, it's a Day of Atonement. I tell you what happened on the 10th day of creation. They failed. They didn't last long at all. And when he atoned or made a covering, there was a type of this, and it was in the ark. Now let me read 17. "And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold." This is where Yahweh meets with them at the mercy covering, that where he would meet with men, right where he met with Adam and Eve, and the length thereof and all that. Verse 18. And here's what I want you to get. "And thou shalt make two cherubims of gold of beaten work shalt thou make them in the two ends of the mercy seat, and make one cherub on the one end and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat or covering shall you make the cherubims on the two ends thereof." Well, this meant something. This wasn't just a random thing. Verse 22 says, "And there I will meet with thee." Well, guess what? When the women came to the tomb over there, and he had rose, they came early the first day of the week, and Ada, Peter and other disciples that outrun and got there to the tomb. Mary stayed outside. She cried. And she bent over and looked into the tomb. And she saw two cherubims, or two angels, it says. Said one was at where his head was, and the other at the other end where his feet was, where he had lain. These cherubims. Think about it. It shows a picture all the way through. He was that covering for our sins. He was that sacrifice, and them cherubims were still there even after he raised. You know, they were to face one another, face toward each other, one on each end. Naturally, they'd be looking over the covering, that sacrifice. And there they were, sitting. And I wished I had that verse there, and I didn't have time to look it up. I'm thinking it's in one of the Gospels. Read all three of the Gospels, or four of the Gospels, whichever one it is, and you'll see. And I wept so when I read that. I looked over there, and it said them words that they was one at his head, where his head had lay, and one at his feet. It don't say they were looking facing one another, but I'm sure there was. I'm reasonably sure there was, according to the way they said. It's a picture. You know, there's David, the prophet David in Chronicles, I think it's 1 Chronicles 28:19. David said, told his son Solomon, Yahweh made me to understand the pattern. There was a pattern. He told Moses to build it according to the pattern that I showed you in the mount. And if you'll look at it, Moses wasn't up there the 40 days and 40 nights just receiving the 10 commandments. He was getting his pattern. The time was spent on the pattern. Yahweh himself wrote with his finger the tables of stone and the 10 commandments and gave them to Moses at the end of the 40 days and 40 nights. Not at the beginning. He done spoke them there. And Moses wrote it down and went up to the mount. He told him, said, come up, Moses, and be thou with me, and I'm going to give you a law and tables of stone that I have written. He already had that ready for him. He spent that 40 days and 40 nights talking about this pattern. But anyhow, I won't get too much in there. I want to give him a number out here. I like to take calls on here. You can talk about anything. I can show you where the Day of Atonement proves, if anybody's interested, proves Lunar Sabbaths also. But the number you can call, 678-300-8676. That's 678-300-8676. And you don't have to agree with me. You can add input, whatever. Just ask the question and just as quick as you can. We got about 10 more minutes. And we'll try to answer. If we don't know, we'll just say we don't know. And I want to announce one last time about our tabernacles we're hosting here. Begins October the 3rd, be this coming Saturday. Feast of Booths. We're going to dwell in booths. We then had our Day of Atonement, and it go for 7 days. And of course, that 8th day that people say is part of the feast is not part of the feast. It's a weekly Sabbath. The feast is 7 days all through the Scripture. I challenge anybody to show one verse of Scripture where the Feast of Tabernacles is an 8-day feast. In Nehemiah, he said that they kept the feast 7 days. And they read in the book of the law from the first day to the last day, 7 days. There's no 8-day feast there. Reason people made an 8-day feast out of it is because they don't understand lunar Sabbaths. And of course, then the 8th day, talking about counting from the 15th, is the 22nd. Just like it's the week of Sabbath. Number again, 678-300-8676. 678-300-8676. Any questions, comments? Like I say, you don't have to agree. But I just wanted to say that about the cherubims, and it just really touched my heart how that this picture came all the way through from the first man, Adam, that all the sins by one man sin entered in the world, but by this second Adam, second man, many were made righteous, it says. So thankful. There was nothing wrong with Adam and Eve being naked. That's why Yahweh made them. But what became wrong when they ate of the tree of knowledge good and evil and knew they were naked, then it was a difference. It's like a little child. Without the law, by the law, the knowledge of sin, Paul said. And without the law, he wouldn't have known sin. They wouldn't have known nothing. They was innocent. They didn't know that anything wrong with being naked. And until the law came, tree of knowledge of good and evil. There's a lot to that. Maybe one day I'll get on that. But, it was a very important day then and should be now. He's just now restoring back the understanding of what the Day of Atonement commemorates. I've never heard nobody say anything. I've always wondered And one day here, just maybe a month or two ago, a few months ago, I said, well, what does the Day of Atonement commemorate? Everything commemorate. You know, you could say, well, it don't have to commemorate nothing. Well, everything else did. Everything else commemorated something. It's no coincidence that the law was given to Moshe or Moses on the very day that Pentecost, which Pentecost meaning 50, but you count seven Sabbaths complete, even all the way up to the morning after the seventh Sabbath. Then you number 50 days, and after you've done that, you bring a new grain or new meat offering to Yahweh. Maybe we'll get into that. We start getting time. But anyhow, people need to come together. These divisions in about every religion there are. And we challenge anybody to meet with us and let's discuss these things, like when the new moon begins. There's so much division on these things. It's so simple. They make things hard. People make things hard. You know, truth, sometimes it's hidden in simplicity. The Bible says, talking about swine or flesh or pork, he said, of their flesh shall you not eat, nor touch their dead carcass. And I don't know what about shall not eat they don't understand, but it's so simple. Scientists even found that's no good for you, but yet people say, well, over here it says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Well, it does, but it ain't contradicting. Peter wondered what the vision meant. If you read on down, it said it meant that it should call no man common unclean. And, why pit one scripture against another when it can be harmonized? Oh, I was going to talk about Jeremiah. I probably may not have time. 8:8. That's going to tell you about that. Let me turn over to Jeremiah 8:8. A lot of people think the Bible lies, you know. And it's a misunderstanding there. Let's take this call right quick. Go ahead, you're on. Let me come. Hold on. Okay.
This is in 2 Chronicles, and I'm in chapter 7, verse 8. At that time, Solomon kept the king 7 days, and all Israel with him. A very great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the book of Egypt. And on the 8th day, they held a sacred assembly, where they observed the dedication of the altar 7 days, and the feast 7 days. So then it talks about here, then on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away. So that was the first day of the week following the feast. So that right there, since that was the 23rd day that they were sent away, that means the 22nd day was the Sabbath day. That means that that was the Feast of Tabernacles, which started on the 15th, which is the Sabbath. And that's a real good scripture to help show people that this calendar really is true by the moon. It's one of, I think it's an excellent example.
I agree. It's, lunar Sabbaths is one of the most provable doctrines in scripture.
It sure is.
Yeah,
it holds fast throughout scripture.
Yeah, they kept the feast 7 days and, you know, through the 21st. Then he sent them away on the 23rd, but see, they kept the weekly Sabbath there on the 22nd.
Right here it says that that's where that 8 day comes in.
Oh, yeah.
They kept the feast for 7 days, and on the 8th day they held a sacred assembly, and that is the first feast listed in Leviticus. He said, these are my feasts, for my Moab. And he lists the Sabbath, and then he commences to that the weekly feast.
Well, people that don't understand, okay, that's a good point. Let me answer that. people that don't understand lunar Sabbaths, that the 22nd is a weekly Sabbath, they think, well, it must be an 8-day feast, but it's not. It's a 7-day feast, and Scripture clearly tells you that over and over again, probably no less than 10 to 15, 20 times maybe. But anyhow, Jeremiah 8:8, people read this and they think that the Scriptures lie, but they don't. Verse 7, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, or Moeds, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of Yahweh. How do you say, now, see, listen, people say the lying pens of the scribes, but that ain't what the scribes didn't lie. The Bible said that the Scripture came, holy men of old were moved by the Holy Spirit and they penned it down. But verse 8, how do you say we are wise and the law of Yahweh is with us? In other words, how do you say that, he said? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pens of the scribes is in vain. This is what the wicked are saying. This ain't what Yahweh's saying. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of Yahweh. And what wisdom is in them? See, when people say that, let's say the Scripture says, don't eat swine's flesh. And then they turn around and say, well, that's the lying pen of the scribes over here. He said, eat whatever's set before you. Well, what they're doing is rejecting the word of Yahweh. And this is true with anything. You cannot take something in this Scripture and say this is lying pen of the scribes. If you do, you should try to harmonize it or put it on the shelf if you can't harmonize it. Because if you say that's the lying pen of the scribes, he said what you're doing is rejecting the word of Yahweh. See, the wicked are saying that the scribes lied. The Scripture ain't saying that. Isaiah scribes didn't lie. We got time for one quick call. Make it quick, you all.
Wow, I just wanted to see that's a chapter, that Luke chapter 24:4 about the two angels.
Yeah, let me read that. Luke, I'm glad you found that. Luke 24:2.
24:4.
Let me read that, 24:4.
Okay.
All right, thank you, appreciate that. Let's read that right quick, where 24:4. Listen to this. And remember, the cherubim's all through there. This ain't the one I'm talking about. Maybe it is. No, that ain't it. It's been one of the other Gospels. But anyhow, the one I'm looking for is that she looked in and there was one sitting at the head and one sitting at the feet. But this ain't the one what I was wanting. But anyhow, our time's just about come and gone. It has come and gone. It sure was quick. But anyhow, for free literature, you can call me on that same number I just gave. And go to our website, lunarsabbath.info, for more information. That's lunarsabbath.info, I-N-F-O, lunarsabbath.info. And don't forget Feast of Tabernacles, anybody interested. And this number, once again, is 678-300-8676. That's 678-300-8676. Till next week, well, till Friday at 10:30 Friday. May Yahweh bless you. Shalom.